Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast. It's a somber day. As many of you know, our beloved Ruth Bader Ginsburg has left us on this planet. And we're going through it. We're going through it. Giorgio, can you give me something for RBG, please?
Yeah, give me one second.
Thank you. Yeah. Just bear with me, guys. We're really having a hard time here. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is no longer with us. Oh, shit. I close my eyes only for a moment, but the moment goes.
That was not great. Probably not going to win that Grammy.
No, you don't think so?
No.
Man, was I too high or too low, Giorgio? I couldn't.
I think you were somehow both too high. I think it might be.
Was it too high or too low, Dan?
You may have been both somehow broke into the fourth spatial dimension.
Oof. Oh boy, RBG. She is no longer with us. Ruth Bacon Ginsburg is her real name, and then
she's actually Kevin Bacon's mom. A lot of people don't know that.
Yep, she changed it once she became Supreme Court Justice.
Yep.
And she was born in 1827. Dan, a lot of people don't know that. We're going to read some fun facts about Ruth Bader Ginsburg tonight. Born in 1827, actually got her law degree from DeVry University.
Yep, which is interesting because that's several hundred years before DeVry existed, I believe.
Yep. She did it all online. And when I say online, it was with a scroll and a feather and some ink. She's from Poughkeepsie, New York. And fun fact about Poughkeepsie, it is not where Winnie the Pooh is from. And a lot of people thought that for many, many years.
No.
About Poughkeepsie. Her height was, she was 4'13". And that's 2 inches taller than a legal maximum midget height.
Mm-hmm.
She weighed approximately 97 pounds. I think that was at birth and also at death, which is a first in American history. Dan, no one has ever been born at the same weight and died at the same weight at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal.
There's some stuff she actually did that was kind of a big deal.
Well, let me get into the rest of her fun facts here real quick. She was a mother of 16. She fought a bear, it says, in Montana, over a large 14-pound salmon that was swimming upstream, and that was in 1987. No, she won that. She won that fight.
I think that was Teddy Roosevelt, actually.
Ah, I might have the wrong person there.
Well, they look a lot alike.
She won a double Dutch contest in jump rope in Harlem, New York, in 1973. She was also not only in the Supreme Court, but actually one of the original members of the Supremes.
Yeah, a lot of people know that.
Yeah, she was a backup singer, Diana Ross.
Yeah.
She wore glasses for fashion, not because she needed them.
Same way she wore Crocs, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always wore Crocs underneath
the gown.
For fashion,
not comfort, yeah.
Correct.
That's what she said.
Wanted her feet to breathe, she said. Wanted her feet to breathe because a lot of these briefings were hot. She was also responsible for Brown v. Board.
I think that Medgar Evers was one of the challengers in that one.
Yep, but she was the deciding vote. I think it was 5-4 in that.
Was she?
And, I think it was Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Also, the in college, my favorite sandwich was at a place called Beekman's. It was a bagel place. It was actually called the Ruth Bacon Ginsburg, and it was an everything bagel with lox, cream cheese, and then obviously bacon. Because it would have been weird if you would have had a play on words without actual bacon on
right.
it. She won the 1979 slam dunk contest in the NBA, where she dunked from the foul line. It was two hands, and that move has never been replicated since.
Not with two hands, though.
No.
And she jumped from like a standing position too. Mm-hmm. Like there was no run into the jump, which was that made it more impressive for me.
None at all. None at all.
To be honest.
She was also in Public Enemy, the DJ Terminator X, who only spoke with his hands
actually got his hand slammed in a car door, and she actually played DJ for an entire concert in Kansas City, Missouri, that night for Public Enemy. And last but not least, Dan, and I think this is most important, it's what a lot of people will remember, but she founded the keto diet, which is very popular today.
I think that may have been Atkins, but...
A lot of people credit her with the keto diet. And those are all the facts of her life. Dan, if you have any you'd like to share, feel free. But I think I pretty much covered all the hits.
Let's see. So she's one of the reasons that women, when they turned 18, were allowed to get a credit card without their without a man's signature.
Really?
Yes, that's real.
Would you say
also
that
the
is
same
a...
the same general ruling? Women were then allowed to buy houses, like take out a mortgage without having their husband's signature on the paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Would you now? Would you say that's a pro or a con, Dan? Be honest with me.
I feel like women are probably better with money than men, to be honest. No. I don't want them driving at all, but
right, right, or voting.
Yeah, not voting, voting for sure.
A fun fact: she actually approved the Suffrage Act. That was her. That was her back in 1920.
No,
no, no.
She was probably elected. Let's see. I mean, the things that she's most known for, in my opinion, aside from the women's rights stuff, is writing dissents. Like, she didn't have, well, it's two things, really. One is writing dissents. She would write scathing dissents if her position was on the other side. And that's an interesting thing to take on when you have to hang out with the same eight other people every single day mm-hmm. for the majority of your year, right? And the other thing that's notable about her is that her best friend was Antonin Scalia, who is like a fucking... lunatic conservative guy.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he doesn't get any more conservative than him.
And he died.
Yeah, she killed him, I think.
Well, he died in a weird hunting hotel room.
Smokes came up behind him and garroted him in an Italian restaurant in downtown. Is that I don't remember what happened.
With piano wire at the Times Square Olive Garden, she gave him the old piano wire to the neck.
Yeah.
They're making a big deal out of this, Dan. Big deal out of RBG. No, no, notorious, notorious.
They should play that at her fucking funeral. How badass would that be?
They will, actually.
That would be great if they did that.
I put her on my... So here's the thing. I put her on my Instagram. Because, by the way, if you don't know, the original song of that Notorious that Puff Daddy and those guys used mm-hmm. Was actually Duran Duran. It's a Duran song from the 80s. We've had Duran Duran on the show, ironically. It was a long time ago, maybe 400 or 500 episodes ago. Needless to say, they were not stoked with my annex. If you go back and listen to that show, for real. But
what was it, like a 20-minute interview?
Yeah, and Homeboy was just so pissed. I told him because he wasn't fun to be with it. I was like, hey man, I heard you guys played with Stevie Wonder, and he's like, oh yeah man, Stevie was great. Stevie was great, and I was like, I heard he can see. I heard Stevie can see shapes. And there was a long like 15-second pause, and he goes, oh fuck. I hope not, you know? Search for that Duran Duran interview if you want to. But, yeah, man, a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork here for Ginsburg. She mm-hmm. died on Friday. I've been tagged in 1,000 posts on this, and I want to say that I maybe can see into the future. That's all I can possibly say. On Ross Patterson Revolution, back in January, I said she would pass away 4 to 6 weeks before the election. This would be one of the huge October surprises, and it happened. What I was unaware, though, Dan, was that I always forget this because an election is jammed in your face over and over and over again.
Yep.
November 3rd, November 3rd, November 3rd. You forget that the inauguration isn't until January.
Right.
Therefore, Trump can get somebody in right now if he wants to. Right. Now, the Democrats, obviously, Chuck Schumer, I would say maybe 15 minutes after she was pronounced dead, maybe 14 minutes. He got on his Twitter and was just like, I think what's best for the country is that we all respect the wishes and wait for the next president to get in there and blah, 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 before we select the next Supreme Court justice. Chuck, I want to tell you this. I know you've had that tweet saved as a draft for 3 years, and you finally got to press send and post it. Because let's face it, she was in the hospital, 900 times in the last 3 years? There's a lot of conspiracy theories going around. I don't know what you believe in, but I would be curious as to hear.
I believe very few conspiracy theories. That's
me too. Me too.
As far as what's going on, yeah. As soon as within 45 minutes of her death being announced publicly, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got 4 emails from various left leaning organizations. Here, I'll call some of them out.
Okay.
Because I'm on all these mailing lists just because I mean I love this shit. It's hilarious seeing what these.
Yeah, and I'm on them for the fundraising side in Hollywood because they're always trying to hit mm-hmm. us up, and like I never wrote back and just said, "Hey, man, I'm a conservative dude." Like,
yeah.
Just because I want to know what's going on and get right. in the know of all of this shit. Who are you getting the emails from?
So here's it was PACs mostly.
Okay,
like the direct organizations waited one day.
Got it.
Out of respect,
but yeah.
The PACs went all in. So. This is from Stop Republicans. That's the name of the organization. Hold on, let me see what the Stop Republicans and Accountability Project of the Progressive Turnout Project. So it's a subsidiary. Blah, blah, blah. So they're doing 600% matching funds right now, but it doesn't say who's giving the other 600%.
Right? Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
That makes you wonder how they're channeling money into this thing, right? So
yeah.
600% match activated. Rush $5 to destroy, in all caps, McConnell.
Cocaine Mitch.
Yeah, so yeah. This money is going to whomever is running against him in Kentucky, who's not going to win, by the way.
Right.
let's see. It doesn't say who the fuck is adding the other money. Like, it's usually it's like, oh, we're partnering with fucking this group. For every dollar you donate, we're going to donate $5 for the rest of the year.
Right,
like,
right,
oh,
right.
Okay, cool. They don't list any additional donors, so it's probably fucking some tech company or something like that, you would think.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
some liberal asshole.
So let's run down the facts here. Okay, we'll start with Scalia.
Yep.
Now, when Scalia passed, he passed away about 9 months before the election, 8-9 months before the election, when Obama was in there. Now, Cocaine Mitch and Lindsey Graham came on and said, hey, man, we don't vote in a Supreme Court justice during a lame duck president
right.
year, and we're going to wait for the new president to get in there, right? Democrats are asking for the same thing now. On the Republican side, the way that they've treated Trump throughout the last 4 years with all of this bullshit,
mm-hmm.
if I'm him, I say, go fuck yourself, and I jam someone through. He can legally do this, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Democrats literally cannot stop him.
Because they have control of the Senate.
Correct.
Yeah.
And all it requires is a nomination from the president and confirmation by the Senate. And this type of confirmation isn't subject to cloture rules, which would require 60 votes, basically. Mm-hmm. So all they need is a simple majority.
Yeah, 51 or something like that?
50.
Yeah.
49. 50. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't, you don't have to reach a threshold of 50 as long as you have a majority. If people abstain, for example, you would still. That's what happened, by the way, to go to war with Britain and the Continental Congress. New York abstained.
Got it.
That's how we passed it, because the framers of the country said, we're not going to do this unless it's unanimous. And New York couldn't get the votes. Their governor said no. So their representatives came down and said, all right, we'll just abstain.
Okay. So let's look into it. Because Trump said, hey, man, I'm going to nominate somebody next week, and we're going to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think I'm leaning towards a woman. Now, when I left the house tonight, by the way, if you're watching live on YouTube, and you listen to Drinking Bros Sports as well, Daddy picked an 8-game parlay. I'm 7-for-7. The last game is the fucking Seahawks right now, which is the worst for me because I hate Russell Wilson, but I bet on him tonight, so we'll see what happens. With that, I caught the tail end of a story that there was two women who were favored next week to be nominated. Do you right. know who those people are?
Yeah, one of them is, God, what is her name? Amy Barrett.
Okay.
And she is I think she's on the 7th.
Why does her name sound familiar?
She's on the 7th Circuit. So she was nominated by Trump in 2017 and, to the 7th Circuit. And then, she was also a law clerk for Antonin Scalia back in the day.
Ah, gotcha.
So
gotcha.
She's been around in the legal world for a pretty good while, but I don't think that she's going to be the choice.
So who's the other one?
The other one is Barbara Lagoa. She's a Cuban-American woman and also has a much more reasonable and longer judicial record than this Amy woman does.
Okay.
Amy Barrett just got a lot of press a couple years ago
because
mm-hmm. she was like super pro-life, came from Scalia's fucking camp and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But she doesn't really have her judicial background, compared to Barbara Gold is not really that impressive, frankly.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Is this a Biden situation where you're picking a woman and getting out ahead of this because you know that it can't be a Kavanaugh situation again?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. And there's a lot less likely chance that people are going to come out of the woodwork and try to fucking say, oh, fucking Barbara LaGore raped me.
Yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Like, no, she didn't. Come on.
She made me do reverse cowboy with a strap on.
Yeah. The other part of it is this could just be his team making a rational decision, right? Like, it would be a bad look for Trump to replace a woman with a man. And I think it would be a mistake as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing that made RBG great at what she did was her understanding of the female plight and representing that in the court. That's an important thing, right? Because 51% of the population is female.
Right.
So I think it would be a mistake for everybody for it not to be a female, replacing a female. Not that we should always have to do that. But I think the Supreme Court is a machine, you know? It's... if we're going to operate in this binary political system that we're in, I think it's incumbent upon us, particularly with lifetime appointees that have to commit felonies, basically, and then get recalled to lose their job. It's ridiculous. I think you have to kind of do stuff like this. When Scalia died, we went out and found a conservative constitutionalist to replace him. It made sense to do that because that's what he was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when Rehnquist died, fucking, he was a guy that started out under Bush, I believe, and kind of moved towards the center, and then we replaced him with Roberts, and a lot of Republicans complain about it, but that's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
You make a guy Chief Justice, he sees everything, and he has to mediate between all these people. He or she's going to go closer to the center. It's just the way it works.
Right. I think for me personally, I think the pick of a female for Trump is smart because he can avoid all the Kavanaugh bullshit, right? You're not going to find a dude from the past who she pinned against the wall and, she put her hand down my jeans, man. She made me real uncomfortable. And then afterwards, she jerked me off and then, you know, threw potato salad all over me. That's not going to happen in this.
I mean, it would be hot if it did, to be honest.
It would be great. Especially if it was the mustard potato salad, not
but
the mayonnaise.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure he's getting out ahead of it, but I also think it's a smart move regardless of that. Like, RBG's probably the most influential person in female rights history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you could make a case for Rosa Parks, but that was more along civil rights at large, right? Particularly with regard to black people. With regard to pushing the ball forward on women's rights, I mean, you could talk about Lily Ledbetter. A lot of people know that name and understand what it means and who she was, but I mean, on the bench, it's been RBG all these years. So I think it'd be a good idea to have a woman in there and represent that part of the community. And I think it would be kind of cool to have this Barbara LaGore woman. Like, I don't like the other lady, frankly.
Okay.
Not a fan.
So do you think this happens then is the next question?
Well, I mean, look, yes, I do. I do think it's going to happen. But I think there's a lot of stuff going on here. I mean, let me ask you this. I think this is an important question we need to ask ourselves. When Obama nominated Merrick Garland, he did it because you cannot get more bland and center than Merrick Garland.
Mm-hmm.
What would the fucking reaction be if Trump just came out and nominated that guy?
Oh, God.
I mean, what would the Democrats say at that point?
Well, it would probably guarantee him the election if there was any doubt, right? And then everybody would be like, what? Holy shit.
I think we as a group of people, I'm not conservative. I think you guys as conservative, and most of you are, should consider what that means. Like, this is a big machine. SCOTUS is a machine. And it operates best when all the parts that need to be there are present. Like, ask yourself this question and be honest with yourself. Do you think any political party, Republican or Democrat, with unchecked power on the bench, isn't going to try to exploit that every way they can over the next 3 decades, probably? Like, of course they are.
Yeah.
And unchecked power is a bad idea every single time it happens. It's never a good idea.
So I was thinking about that on the drive over here because... we were supposed to do a Kid Rock show tonight. We pushed it to do this live show because it's a huge story. And it's going to affect not only the election, but maybe the next 30 years of our country, to be honest with you, right? This will be Trump's third pick if he gets it in. Now, I would have said what you said maybe before 2016 started. It has gotten so fucking ruthless from the left that... just out of spite at this point, because of all the bullshit that they've put him through, including the impeachment, which I thought was dog shit,
yeah.
And they didn't have anything. At this point, it would just be a fucking shot to the beehole and say, hey, man, I'm fucking fed up with everything that you've tried to do to me and my family for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. I'm putting her in and we're getting her in here in 30 fucking days and everyone can go fuck themselves. The other baller move that a friend of mine called and told me before we came on air is he knew I was going to do the show tonight was he goes, how baller would it be if you're Trump to say, hey man, you know what? Fuck you guys. I will wait. I'll wait till after the election. You know why? Because I'm going to fucking win. And then afterwards, you guys can't say shit when I put whoever I want to put in there. Now, what I told him was, hey, that's too big of a risk. Because you don't know what's going to happen that day. You don't know if the weather's going to be like that day or mail-in ballots.
Well, I mean, there's a huge risk either way.
Correct.
So we can discuss the consequences of pushing this through. If you will, if you like, but
let's go into it. Who gives a shit.
Well, I think United Extra Time in the chat just said Barbara Lagoa will be the next judge on SCOTUS as she is Cuban American and rubber stamps Florida for him. I agree with that. It's a lot of electoral
votes. That's a great one. Yeah, I don't know who United Extra Time is, but that makes really fucking
great
sense.
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of people talking about.
If he wins Florida, he wins the election. So,
I mean, if he wins Florida, he definitely wins the election, and I think. One of the problems Trump has had is actually he's done
in the
well.
Latino vote, dude. Shit.
Well, no, he did better in the Latino vote than Mitt Romney did in 2012. I mean, obviously Mitt Romney is a fucking weirdo, but
according to these polls, if you believe them, Biden is leading in the Latino.
Biden will win the Latino vote for sure, but he will not win by enough. Like he needs to win by about 27 points, I think, to win.
Yeah, that's a long shot.
Especially not if he fucking does that. So. You know, she's actually a good candidate for the position.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's kept her fucking bullshit out of it.
Yeah.
There's not a fucking blemish on her record. Even Politico was like a lot of conservatives don't really like her that much because when things come up, she just like goes the reasonable route every single time. By the way, that's who you want on the fucking bench.
Yeah.
You're not right about everything. Like we all have thoughts and opinions and the way we live our life and shit like that. Even about sports teams or fucking cooking food or whatever the fuck it is. But sometimes you're wrong, and you need to have the discussion to find out who's right and who's wrong. And if you're not willing and capable of doing that, then you certainly don't belong in the public discourse, and you goddamn sure better not be on the bench, right? These people that have intractable positions in the judiciary are fucking crazy to me. That's not how that's supposed to work.
So let's say Trump gets her in, right? And this happens fairly quickly.
Yep.
Is there enough time to do it before the election day?
They could do it in a fucking week.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. There are some procedural things that the Democrats can do. They can...
to delay it, right?
Yeah, they can... There's a vote they can take to not do any business during the day for some amount of time, but that would last maybe a week or two.
Mm.
So they can stall it maybe a week or two, I think. But after that... But, you know, again, the left in this country, we saw it again last. I don't know if you saw James Klug stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, he and a fucking this female camera person were, dicking around, asking people questions on the ground and blah, blah, blah in Philly.
Yeah.
And fucking Antifa shows up. They start beating people's cars in, grab this girl by the hair, and they're like fucking threatening him and all this other bullshit. The left has become extremely violent.
Yes.
And petty and vindictive because they keep losing. That's why. You know, I mean, if you win elections... And you win majorities, then you can do what you want.
Yeah.
That's how it works. The people decide
how a democracy
who to put in
works.
Power. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting to me that all the potential recourse that could come from this going down is super interesting to me. Because I like change. I like seeing stuff get rolled around, flipped around a little bit.
Same, yeah.
And this is going to be a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. So I guess some of the things that come to mind for me on this is... If he does push somebody through next week and nominate somebody and they start to get the process going, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are 43 days from the election right now. What is that going to do for Biden? Because to me, it's going to eat up all the headlines. It's going to be Trump. It's going to be SCOTUS. And Biden is still going to be invisible.
Well, he hasn't gotten a headline. That's good for him, in my opinion. The people that are going to vote for him are going to vote for him. And he's counting on enough people to hate Trump and vote for him instead.
Right.
That's what he's counting on. The less he's in public, the better. Frankly,
man. So you have the first debate in 9 days.
Yep.
A potential SCOTUS pick here in the next seven. If he does push somebody through, and let's say that all goes down, the Democrats have said they could consider going nuclear. Or nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear, the or, nuclear option.
Or if you're George W. Bush, nuclear.
Nuclear, man, whatever. Either way, they said that they could potentially add more justices to the Supreme Court. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they want to do 13 is what they said.
I don't know about 13. Well, I mean, I guess it would be a total of that. So you can, you don't necessarily have to add, these are two separate issues. The idea of, there's two separate things going on. One, they want to push hard to get Puerto Rico and DC made states. So they have four additional Democratic senators into perpetuity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the plight of the people in DC or the plight of the people in Puerto Rico. It's just for political power, by the way, if you're wondering about that.
Right.
But they don't need to do any of that. You can add more justices to the Supreme Court just by having an up down vote in Congress and the Senate, or in the Senate rather. You just need a majority.
Okay.
Like they would try. Here's what would happen. So, whomever the fucking Senate majority leader would become, provided the Democrats win the election, right?
Uh-huh.
Whomever it was, it would be fucking Chuck Schumer.
Okay.
He would call the vote. They would fucking require cloture, require 60 votes. Then they would go back in. They would go down to Congress and the Senate and say, this 60 vote shit is done. And that's called the nuclear option, by the way. This shit is done. It'll never be law again. And then they'll go back in, get an up-down majority and add whatever the fuck they want. They could add 60 seats to the SCOTUS if they wanted to. It doesn't matter.
Man, that's weird.
It hasn't been modified since 1869, the Judiciary Act of 1869.
Mm-hmm. Because the other option is what you were talking about, adding D.C. As a state in Puerto Rico, which would give them two Senate seats apiece and then likely give them the majority.
I mean, they could do both of these things, Senate, by the way.
Yeah.
Like that. But look, first of all,
would that happen? I guess is what
I want to know. Definitely not going to happen for a couple of reasons. One, the people of Puerto Rico have voted numerous times to not join as a state. They don't want to fucking pay federal taxes. That's it. They're not going to do it.
Right.
And D.C., they've actually been trying to become a state for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be easy, but not Puerto Rico. But, hey, one out of two is not bad. That's two additional Democratic senators. Presumably.
Absolutely.
We would see. The other part of that is you got to win the election for any of this to matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And good luck.
My prediction is, yes, this week he will pick one of these women. It will be a woman. He will jam this through and tell them to go fuck themselves. And 2020 is going to continue being 2020. And that's it. I think if the things had gone differently over the last 4 years,
mm-hmm.
I think he would reconsider. But because of how fucking violent it's gotten and the hatred has become so fucking real, and in particular that impeachment, which they knew they couldn't get to stick, I don't think he owes them. I don't think Trump owes them anything, to be honest with you. Whereas I would have said, hey, man, Obama played ball back in the day. You play ball now. Like,
yeah.
Fuck it. I think he puts somebody in and tells them to go fuck themselves.
Well, I mean, look, the situations are different. In 2016, the Republicans had a majority in Senate still.
Right.
So they wouldn't have had the votes anyways. So yeah. all the grandstanding, I don't know why they did it. It was really the Republicans played their hand without needing to at that point. Because they could have voted it down. Nothing, like, Obama could have fucking done whatever the fuck he wanted. He could have nominated anybody. And I'd just, like, vote, like, no. No.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know why, like, Lindsey Graham, like, you can read my words back to me in 4 years, motherfucker. God, he is such a piece of shit, that guy. He's also a terrible politician. He's never done shit in his entire career except for fuck our buddy out of getting money.
Yeah. Stasko.
Yeah, that guy is a real turd. And I don't understand why they even bothered back then, frankly. But now, I mean, look, there's an interesting question here. How long are you president for exactly? Like, this whole premise from the left that I think the American people should decide in November who fucking blah, blah, blah. Well, they decided last fucking in November in 2016.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was going to be the president for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. I mean, Jesus Christ. How long do you get to serve? It says 4 years in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So you may want to look at that document. But again, all these other fucking things that are happening are the Republicans better really fucking be on their game. They better be sure
I agree, by the way.
If they fucking nominate and then vote on somebody, you can be damn sure they know they're going to win.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I'm going to pitch something super tinfoil hat here in left field to you, okay? And I know it's morbid, and I want to preface this statement before I say it. Why not keep her on a ventilator or something till past the election? Knowing if she's going to die and all of that shit. Because there was some other people, some drinking bros that had written in and said, hey, man, she's been dead for like a month. I don't necessarily believe, but...
You could probably pull something like that off. I doubt she had any public... In the next, fucking 7 weeks, I doubt she had any public meetings.
No.
Not even seven.
Yeah.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
I doubt she had any public shit going on, but...
And nobody would have said anything either.
Well, I mean, if you got caught doing that, that would be... That would be sedition. You would go to jail for the rest of your life. You might get executed for something like that. You know what I mean?
Man. Yeah, I just wondered.
That's a bad play.
And I know that's super morbid, but when I saw it, I was like, man, if you're the family, why not wait? Because, look, this is a shitty example.
I like how her granddaughter came out. Like, oh, fucking her last dying wish was not to film. No,
yes.
The fuck it was. She was doped up on fucking everything they could find because she was in pain. She didn't say shit. Get fucked, goddamn liar.
So this is a terrible example, but I'm going to say it anyways. Bobby Brown kept his daughter alive for fucking 2 months on a ventilator, and she was brain dead, essentially, right? I don't know what the purpose of it was, to be honest with you, but he did. So it would have been possible if they would have... You know, tried to keep her alive for another 43 days here at this point. Like, I don't think anybody would have known, said anything, or, you know, they would have just been like, oh, she's in the hospital and we don't know how she's doing, you know? She's in a coma or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Was she in a hospital before, or was she like on hospice or something? I guess when you take them, like, I doubt anybody planned it. If she starts to decline, you take her to a hospital, she's dead in 6 hours all of a sudden. There's not a whole lot of time to plan that, you know, because now everybody at the hospital is involved as well.
Yeah.
And they're not going to fucking lie because they will die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that'll be the end of their career. So.
So over the last 6 months, she was in for broken ribs, 2 cancer treatments, a gallbladder infection, you name it. Anything under the sun, she had it. And she was just living on pure rage and hatred for Trump, in my opinion, at that point. Which, God bless her. I mean, fuck. There's a lot of people that I want to fucking rage outlive. And I understand it. And look, as much as we joke, she's a fucking amazing woman.
Yeah, she's a tough, very smart. She, yes. When she graduated Harvard, I think her graduating class had 90 dudes and 5 women.
Mm-hmm. She's a fucking hardcore gangster,
yeah, baller,
dude.
Yeah.
And to live this long, keep working and do all the shit that she's done is unbelievably impressive. Mm-hmm. So even though we are a comedy show, I do want to acknowledge all of her accomplishments because they're pretty incredible. That being said, if that was the case, if she's making dying wishes like that, my dying wish would have been, hey, man, if I hated somebody so much, and I know you would have done the same, keep me on a ventilator for 45 fucking days and let's get through this.
Yeah.
Because if something. Biden wins, let's say Biden wins in November 3rd, right?
Right.
Then Trump would have a hard time if she fucking died November 4th. Trump would have a hard time getting somebody through and be like, hey, dude, you're not the fucking president anymore, you know?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Is there something equivalent to the 25th Amendment for Supreme Court judge? Like, if they're incapacitated, I don't know. I don't know enough about that. But if there's no rule for that, technically, as long as she's still alive, I mean, it wouldn't matter if she's in a goddamn coma, right?
Right, yeah.
If the family's paying to keep her alive, and then you can be damn sure that the DNC would be giving that family money.
Bro.
Like, oh, we'll take care of the medical bills. Don't worry about it.
They would have taken care of everything, for Christ's sake. So the whole thing is strange. The timing is strange. And I don't know. There's something, again, maybe I can't see into the future, but fuck, man, something in me was just like, man, the way this is lining up, she's going to die like 4 to 6 weeks before this election. And then it's going to just create fucking chaos.
Chaos, yeah.
Well, you know, in the first debate now,
it's going to be all about this.
Yes.
Yeah. There's another circumstance here that I haven't seen. I've seen very few people even mention this in public, but let's say there's a Florida situation, 2020 or 2000 Florida situation, where the courts get involved in deciding who won or who didn't win.
Right.
Now you've got four.
Correct. Like, and I did see one senator get on over the weekend and he said, look, He was a Republican senator, and he said, here's why it is important that we get somebody in there, is because if there is some holdup with the votes, be it, you know, some you're contesting, you know, mail-in ballots or hanging chads,
whatever it is, in whatever state.
This is going to go to the Supreme Court, and right now it's just 4-4. Well, you're going to need someone there.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, what will happen is whatever the decision made in the lower court will stand. That's what happens. If there's a tie in the Supreme Court, it doesn't just fucking stay a tie. It goes back to whatever the lower court was. So it'll be really important to see which state it happens in. Luckily for Trump, most of the circuit courts, the federal circuit courts, are in swing states that are pretty, like, those courts are generally conservative.
Conservative, right.
More so than not, like Florida and places like that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter anyways. I think he's putting somebody in there and that's it. And he'll say, fuck you guys. And move
probably
on with his life.
Probably.
If it's a woman, he will get out on the campaign trail and in all these debates and say, hey, man, I'm putting another woman to replace her on the Supreme
Court.
Well,
if it's Barbara Lagoa, he's the one that appointed her, and she was the first Latino woman to be appointed to a federal court in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's there. He's got a lot of PR wins, for lack of a better phrase, in his career. As much stupid shit as he says on a regular basis, he actually done a lot of stuff.
So if he puts her on there, it's a win for not only him in Florida, but also diversity and, you know, all that other shit that counts in these fucking elections. So and also you're gonna have a hard time digging up dirt on her.
No, look, she has been vetted very recently, so it'd be you're gonna be hard pressed to find anything crazy.
Did she work on that Elaine Gonzalez shit? Was that her?
She represented the families.
Elaine
Gonzalez. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that kid. I still think about him to this day.
I never think about him.
I do. Every time I go to a beach, I look out and see if there's a raft with a child on it. And I wonder if I'm the one who can save the next Elaine Gonzalez.
I've been throwing bottles with little notes in them out there. And it says get fucked. And then on the back, it says get fucked in Spanish. not the words get and fucked in Spanish. It says obviously get fucked, and then the words in Spanish next to that.
Right. So that when,
because I don't fucking know that stuff. So no. I just like wrote it like it's like you do the translating. I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, we don't speak Spanish.
Google Translate will do it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. No hablo español up in this motherfucker. But we do know some sponsors. Some sponsors who pay for this show to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. I hope she had one, or she passed away in one. It is a fine mattress.
It is.
It is worthy of a Supreme Court justice. So if you're out there and you're the other 8 Supreme Court justices right now, and you're wondering if there's a more comfortable mattress in the world, yes, there is. Ghostbed. Ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And here's the thing. If you're in the government, you automatically get 30% off. Same if you're in the military or first responder or a teacher. You get 30% off at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros.
Giorgio, the video.
Now, the rest of us dummies, you know, 25% off.
It's still a good deal.
And yeah, it's great.
They're, I love their sales because it's I don't know if, when we first started working with them, I thought it was just that they were forgetful.
Yeah.
Because the deal would go for like 6 months at a time.
Yeah.
Then they started actually sending the emails. They're like, hey, our sale's still going. Oh, they're doing this on purpose. I got it.
They're trying to help people.
Yeah.
It's a tough time out there.
Well, I mean, look, you can say that it's a marketing ploy. They're trying to help people. But after they started out with active duty military, then they added veterans.
Correct.
Then they added first responders, which is great as well. Then they added fucking teachers.
Yep.
That was the big one for me because that shows that like you, and this happened during the pandemic. They're like, oh, everybody kind of realized like, not that I knew before, because look, the average fucking public school teacher spends like anywhere from $600 to $1,000 of their own money in the classroom each year. These are people that make like fucking $50,000 a year. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they were like, during COVID, I was like, oh shit, we need these people. Let's pay them or give them whatever the fuck. And then they added, it was a very reasonable and compassionate move during a time of crisis where everybody's hurting financially, including Ghostbed. And I thought that was a very big move of them.
Same. And as always, they got the 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there. And all of these deals are applicable with that fucking promotion. So get it, dude. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Who's up next, D'Anthony? Who do we got today?
I don't even know what day it is.
It's Sunday night, man.
We got Liquid IV.
Yeah, we do. Boy,
actually, this is a new flavor I haven't tried yet.
This weekend,
yeah. So I like lemon lime.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany likes the whatever the fuck one you like.
I'm a Sahi berry, yeah.
Yeah, she likes that one, I think. And then this sea berry one. This is a new one.
Oh, yeah.
This one's fucking good. Have you tried this yet?
Limited edition.
Yeah.
Liquid IV. If you were hungover, put one of these fuckers in. Hold that package up, Dan. Put one of those fuckers in a 16-ounce water, and you're good to go. It'll rehydrate you twice as fast. It's not hype. It's not bullshit, man. And it's fucking amazing, dude. You get 25% off with the promo code DRINKINBROS at liquidiv.com. It is the very best in the business. I drink one of those on the way to work every single fucking morning.
Brittany likes passion fruit, my bad.
And then usually when I get up for the studio, when I get up for RPR.
I do two a day. I do one in the morning.
Me too, yeah.
Then I drink one at night. I guess it's 2.5 because then I fill up this one of these bottles and I put one packet in this. So I'm kind of doubling up. But I do one of these in the morning, whole thing.
Yep.
One of them throughout the day at some point, and then whatever else I drink through the day, and then another one at night.
Yeah.
Like when I'm going to sleep. But I usually don't drink all of it, but I like 2.5.
Best in the biz. Go to liquidiv.com, promo code DRINKINBROS, 25% off. Next up, we got manscaped.com. I just used this before I got in the studio. That's no lie, by the way.
Did you use it on your face or your dick and balls?
Nope, my dick and balls. Come on, brother. That's what it's for, dude. If you're a man out in this world, you want to add an extra inch and a half to your dong, give it a little zing, zing, zing. My sound effects and singing are on fire tonight, Giorgio. Really top notch. Go to manscaped.com. Get the kit. It comes in a leather pouch, and your balls will thank you. That is their slogan, not ours. I wish I had come up with it. I got ball deodorant. You can shave everywhere. And it's a classy kit, by the way. So you can just leave it on your counter. It looks great. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 20% off at manscaped.com. And you're seeing these guys everywhere right now. Last but not least, felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros, D'Anthony.
Big fan stolen. Of Felix Gray.
They're stolen, dude. We've not received our new ones yet. Every single person who comes into the studio steals them.
I need to check on that. Actually, RSL, if you're watching, call those folks and find out where my glasses are.
Yeah, dude. Amari King stole the last
one. And Tiffany Hart.
Tiffany Hart stole her fucking glasses. Everybody who comes in, it's a special blue light on the glasses that, it knocks out the blue light, like 90% of it. The average American spending about 11 hours in front of screens is probably higher because of COVID. This will knock it out and not kill your eyes. Jesus Christ, if I stare at these fucking screens one more fucking time, dude, I'm going to lose my eyesight. I wear these at nights, and I watch football in them. I don't wear them on the show too often because I'm not a fucking dork.
Yeah, but,
you look cool in glasses. I
just look cool in anything, to be honest. But yeah, you write a lot at night too.
I do, yeah.
So I mean, that's when you're in a low light situation, especially the blue light from computer screens and phone screens has a bigger effect on your eyeballs.
Every night from 10 to 3 a.m. Yeah. So that's when I wear them. That's my prime time for writing and all that shit. And everybody else who's out there, look, they're great for the office. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros.
It's my prime time for jacking.
Yeah, it is. And you get a free 30-day trial there.
I've got one of those liberators.
Do you really?
But it's just to rest my feet on when I'm SEing. You know what I mean? You got to hit the right angle.
By the way, if you don't know what an SE, it's a spread eagle, Jack.
Yeah.
Is what that is. The old SEJ.
I really want to do that documentary.
Who doesn't?
I mean, like, for real, it would be so easy to do it. It would be like, this is Spinal Tap, but so much funnier and super fucked up. But at the same time, if we wrote it the right way,
it'd be great.
It wouldn't be that fucked up.
Yeah.
Just the jacking off on top of national monuments and shit would be fucked up. But that's a small part. That's just his name.
Yeah.
That's not who he is.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just what he's done in this life. I want to talk about what happened earlier today with the Eagles quarterback who got booed, Carson Wentz. There's no fans in the stadium, Dan. How did that happen?
So Fox had the broadcast for that. And they've been trying. Like, I actually heard some people complaining on the NHL broadcast that they played the cheers for the wrong team based on the home stadium or home ice or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. And they're still figuring out the production part of it. But so far, up until recently, I feel like I've only heard cheers. And then the rest is just like ambient crowd noise.
I have two. I know the NBA's trying to incorporate a little bit of oohs and ahs for the home team.
Yeah, for like highlight plays and dunks and shit like that. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
But in Philly today, Carson Wentz, who continues to just be amazing and stay super healthy. he's actually usually great when he's on the field, but
he is, man. He's just one of those guys who can't stay healthy.
Yeah, well, he's not been great this year so far. But anyways, in true Philly fashion, because look, Philly has the worst fans
mm-hmm.
of any sports team ever.
Yeah,
not
the best.
Not the most annoying,
yeah, yeah.
but definitely the worst.
Yeah.
They're assholes. They're assholes to you. If you show up there to see a game, they're assholes to their own team. If they're not playing well, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's fucking zero tolerance for anything, which is funny because they, aside from 2 years ago, they haven't won a Super Bowl.
No, ever. Yeah, yeah,
so it's like, time. I mean, that's pretty high expectations for a team that had never won until just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he started fucking up, missed a big pass on third and long, mm-hmm. and they started playing the boo thing over the fucking Fox broadcast. Oh, so somebody made the decision. Like they were ready.
Yeah.
Like you have that board over there. Where's that board? Oh, it's over there. So there's this little, there are these boards and it looks like one of those gaming boards. There's like big white buttons on it and they all stand for a different sound or fucking camera or whatever the fuck it is. Somebody had their finger over the boo button waiting for him to miss and then they pressed it. You know what I mean? Like, so it wasn't like an accident for sure. A lot of thought went into doing that shit.
A lot of thought. By the way, if you're watching the Emmys live right now, you definitely have never listened to the show or watched the show whatsoever. And I don't know who's watching the Emmys anymore. A little bit of breaking news, though. Jennifer Aniston, there was a fire accidentally started during the Emmys tonight that they could not put out. She is okay and alive, Dan. I want to really put that out there for the world.
There's more important information.
Jay Anus is okay and alive.
About Janus. The funniest thing that she's done recently is exist in the same space-time as Shia LaBeouf. So I don't know if you guys have seen this shit, but
the best.
They did, what was it, on Friday evening or some shit? Mm-hmm. Facebook Live, they did a live reading of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a great fucking movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible, but great, you know, in the way that terrible movies can be great. So Morgan Freeman was the fucking narrator. And then Brad Pitt was there. Fucking Ray Liotta was there. Jennifer Aniston was there.
Yeah.
Sean Penn was there, who's, I don't know how he's not in jail. Shia LaBeouf was there. Who else was there? There was John Legend, who is looks like that cartoon character.
Why is John Legend in anything?
I don't know.
Why has to do with
why
actors?
Is it, his wife should definitely be in jail. Because
she's close.
Yeah.
She's close.
She might get it at some point.
Yeah.
But anyways, Shia LaBeouf, everybody else is like, You've seen the fucking Zoom meetings at this point. You've seen John Krasinski doing the good news on fucking YouTube and Facebook Live and shit.
Yeah.
He's sitting in his house dressed like a normal human being with a fucking background of some sort, right?
Yeah.
Just on his computer, probably has a little camera there, and everybody else was doing that. Shia LaBeouf had AirPods in, right? And he's sitting there high as fuck with his
smoking weed on camera with his
shirt off in his truck.
Yeah.
In the cab of his truck. So unless he's got some kind of device I'm unfamiliar with, he had a tripod with a nice-ass camera hooked up to it going through the internet, which is not, I mean, it's not hard to do, but it's not, like, there are technical issues. You got to know what you're doing to do it.
In your garage, because you got to hook all that up. Yeah.
And he's also hearing through the AirPods, but
correct,
only music.
Yeah.
That's not what he was doing the show with. Every time his name came up, he had to take him out.
Yeah. Which is crazy. He stole the show, by the way.
He's the only person that got all the lines right, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, he memorized all of his lines.
Yeah.
Like he had a script book before they started doing the read. He flipped through it a couple of times, then put it down. You can see him put it down.
Yeah.
And he does the whole read without ever looking back at it. He's playing Jeff Spicoli.
Spicoli, yeah.
So it's like, I guess you're kind of getting into character there, but I doubt Sean Penn was as high when he originally did it as Shia LaBeouf was this past weekend.
By the way, he was
dying laughing the whole time.
It was great.
Every time Shia LaBeouf delivered a line, you could see Sean Penn like tittering like a child trying not to laugh out loud. It was hilarious.
And what was funny was you had Brad Pitt and Jay Anus and all like the most famous people on the planet. Jimmy Kimmel was the moderator, and so Morgan Freeman read all of the fucking action sequences and all that stuff. For Shia LaBeouf to steal that from all of the biggest A-list actors on the planet, he's great. But and he's a, despite his fuckery and his
tomfoolery, I don't think he's that crazy. I think he is a performer and he goes out and tries stuff and doesn't give a fuck if it works or not. He wants to know if it will work.
Watch his movie Honey Boy on Amazon Prime. It is about his life growing up.
He plays his own dad, basically,
right? And it is the fucking, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. Check it out. It is fucking incredible, and it will shed some light on Shia LaBeouf and why he is the way he is. But it's amazing. He's a great fucking actor, and I'm glad he snapped out of whatever the fuck it was.
For the first time in your life, he had success with Even Stevens and shit like that, but mm-hmm. that was like, nobody watched that bullshit. Like, children watched that. You don't care about that.
No, but kids, you know, did. I mean? And like, when you go back and watch that Honey Boy movie, like, the dad was living out of a hotel room, like the shitty prostitution drug hotel room when he was shooting Even Stevens, and was using all of his per diem to buy booze and shit like that, man, and prostitutes.
I mean, he was super fucked up. So he didn't have, like, his issue on that show wasn't dealing with the fame. It was dealing with his fucking bullshit dad.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think he was distracted. That's kind of what I'm getting at there. So once he actually got away from that, then became famous again with the fucking Star Wars shit. Or Star Wars. What the fuck?
Transformer.
Jesus Christ.
Close enough.
Transformer
all
shit.
All that shit's the same to me.
Well, not to me, but... once he got super famous on the Transformer stuff, then started to do real movies like... what was it called? Disturbia was a really good one.
Yeah. Disturbia was great.
And then, Honey Boy.
Honey Boy, he's fucking awesome.
After the Transformer stuff, he did a couple of like really good movies outside
with Tom Hardy. Do you remember that one with Tom Hardy where they were the three
brothers.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it.
Tommy and something else. Like,
they were moonshine guys.
Yes, he was fantastic.
Somebody in the crowd knows what it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, after he did those, you started to see him go off the rails a little bit. He started to have a lot of money Lawless, that's the name of it. That's a great fucking movie. Mm-hmm. He started to have plenty of money. Plus, he was like absorbing all the fame. He was like, I can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But now, every time you see him do something fucked up, if you want to call it fucked up, it works every single time. You know what I mean?
So the interesting part about Shia LaBeouf is, you know, those crazy memes of him doing all that wild shit. It turns out he was actually teaching a course on acting, and he was like, you know, the problem with today's popular culture and acting and everything else is everybody wants to turn you into, you know, a GIF or a meme or whatever. And he goes, look, let's spend a day and just shoot me doing crazy shit on a green screen and then put it out into the world. And he goes, watch how fast this stuff becomes memes. So all those memes you see where he's clapping and fucking, you know, doing shit with his hands and motivational speeches was all for a class for actors. And then they put that footage out into the world, and it did exactly what he said it was going to do. The other thing that was really cool that he did, which was some form of like performance art, was he played all of his movies back to back at this theater in New York for 48 hours straight, and no breaks, no nothing. So he slept in the theater, and he did fall asleep during it. He had a camera on him the entire time, and then all of his movies just ran for 48 hours straight. And sometimes he was laughing.
Were there other people
crying.
In the crowd?
Yes. So he invited anyone who wanted to come. Hmm. But you had to buy a ticket and then go in, and like all of these people sat with Shia LaBeouf while he watched all of his own movies, including like Transformers and Holes and all that shit. And it was a really funny, interesting, like, you know, thoughtful art experiment where it was just like, why the fuck not?
That's what I'm saying. He's gotten to the point now where I think he understands he's really good at it.
Yeah.
But then you go through that period where you get cocky and think you're like, everything I do is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, you figured out what's good. It's not that everything you do is good. You figured out what is good. So it took him a few minutes to learn that lesson, because he also tried to, what was that thing he did with 4chan where they were following him around? They kept exposing his position.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was trying to hide a satellite somewhere or something like that, and they were using a drone to find it like within minutes every single time.
Every time he was trying to do some art experience, like, you know, where he was spray painting something and then he had a bag on his head at one point for another art exhibit.
It's hilarious.
Where people just came and yelled in his face. He's a weird guy, man, but I dig his whole shit. I love him as an actor, and it was really cool to see that table read, just to see him steal it from that many A-list actors, where you know when you're stealing scenes and you're like, all right, cool, man, he owned that, and that's all anybody's been talking about the last few days. So I was super fucking amped about that. You got a drinking bro of the week you'd like to bring on the show here. Who do we got?
Can I say your real last name?
Are we allowed to say your real name?
His name's Jeremy Ryan, and he's one of the admins in the
Austin.
The Drinking Bros. Austin group.
Come on in, brother. Welcome. Play him in, Giorgio. Play him in with a little teaser, that guitar, real quick.
For you dicks that are asking, this is a fucking Glock 43.
Yeah, but they're asking what the O sight is, I think.
What O? The what?
The I read it incorrectly.
The sight on it is a TLR 6.
That's it.
And there's a clip right here.
O-lights. O-light is what they were asking.
Well, they can O-light my fucking nuts. How about that?
Well, welcome to the show, by the way.
What I will say is...
you're talking to that mic. There you go.
I've been here for 2 hours.
Have you really?
And I've had 8 of these, so... I can't be held accountable for anything.
It's true, by the way. When you come here, it's just the I don't think there's water or anything in that fridge, to be honest with you. It's just
no, booze. There's no water. It's only booze.
Ranch water is what we have here. This shit's amazing, by the way. I just chatted with them the other day, so hopefully we do something with them soon. Yeah. I had never heard of that before I moved to Texas. So a lot of people, if you're unfamiliar, we have private Drinking Bros groups on Facebook. And there's like over 800 subgroups, including all of your cities. So no matter what city you go to in the United States or the world, there is somebody there to say, hey, man, I've got a fucking handyman. Yeah. Here's a sweet bar to go to. I'll hang out with you no matter what it is. You were one of the admins for the Drinking Bros Austin group.
Correct.
And Dan put up a thing. And just said, hey, guys, I'm super fucking lazy, and I don't know how to hang a flat-screen TV.
He said, well,
somebody
want to
come
and
over and drink with me?
Yeah, lazy and dumb. Lazy and dumb, yeah. I'd never done it before, and I had no idea how to do it.
We're both lazy and dumb, so it worked perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
Perfect.
But, yeah, it's actually, it turns out it's pretty easy.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's actually really easy. But only after you do it once.
Okay, gotcha.
The first time, it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
when he had 3 TVs.
I'm the least handy motherfucker.
And it was also three TVs.
Three.
Yeah. So I wasn't like, hey, can you come do me a favor? It's like, you show up and the guy's like, you're filling up a fucking truck. You're like, no, I didn't offer to help you move, motherfucker. What the hell?
That's fucking hilarious.
And of course, they're all 65-inch fucking like 30-pound TVs.
Yeah.
He wants them 7 feet up on the wall and
easily.
Shit.
Like, look, we're big dudes. We're big dudes. Had you listened to the show before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was it weird that you just show up at Dan's house and he's just like, hey, man, here's my dogs. Let's fucking hang some TVs and drink some beers.
Well, especially since one just kept trying to fucking fight me.
Yeah. Yeah, Morty's kind of a dick.
Yeah, he just like, he'd love me, then he'd fight me, then he'd love me, then he'd fight me. I'm like, all right.
Cool. He likes to fight.
Yeah, but I was nervous, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, once our clothes were off, I think everything kind of settled down.
Yeah, I mean, my heart rate dropped a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
I only do like stuff around the house if I'm completely nude.
Yeah, you have to. You got to manscape up. You got to go full nude and then hang. Yeah.
It's a sponsor, so you got to, you know.
Yeah, of course. How long have you lived in Austin, by the way?
So, everybody's going to kill me, but I'm actually from California.
Ah, so everybody here, by the way, because I lived in LA for 18 years.
So
everybody here has been like, fuck California, fuck everybody. And I understand it, man.
I do.
Don't bring your politics here. If you hate that state so much, like my politics were always opposite of California anyway, 100%. So I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So everybody's like, yeah, fuck yeah, Ross is here. This is awesome. But I understand. Where were you at in California?
Hometown, Paso Robles.
Oh, no shit.
So slow.
Yeah, you know, real
Cal
slow.
Cal Poly. Yeah. You know, shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Not a lot going on there.
Wine.
Yeah, wine's great up there.
They're the new industry for wine.
Did you see Dan's wine collection?
I did not.
Dude, oh, no, it's in
that closet. We were too busy fucking.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, his eyes were glued shut by then.
Yeah. Afterwards, he usually treats the gentleman to a nice red.
Well, I brought the alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh.
He brought booze from a couple of different spots, actually. It was good.
Fuck you, dude.
Yeah, what was the name of that place?
So I not only came and helped him hang
televisions,
TVs, right?
Then you also
brought
him booze.
And then he tried to pay me, and I'm like, nah, we're good.
Ladies, if you're out there, that is the best first date you could possibly have with a dude. If you're trying to land a man, do that, obviously.
100%. Family business beer company.
No shit.
Yeah.
Is that where you work at?
So I've done security for the owner.
Great. The owner is my lot.
Jensen Ackles.
It's Jensen Ackles from Supernatural. His wife is Danielle. She was in all of the... Those were like my first two friends in Los Angeles. There was a group of like 10 of us that used to hang out. I was telling you a funny story before the show. I was like, hey, man, the last time I saw Jensen, he had booked Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting ready to shoot the first season. He
15
bought
15 years ago.
Yeah. He bought a huge house in the hills. We had this huge party at his house. And he's like, man, it's going to be awesome. I'm going to Vancouver. You never think those TV shows are going to last more than 2 years, let alone 15.
Yeah.
I have not seen him since at all,
which
is hilarious. And so we got here. I heard he's got a brewery, family brewery. Him and his wife own it and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like the day after Supernatural ended, he jumped back into another TV show on Amazon. I think it's called The Boys is what it's called. It's
third season.
Oh, is he on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's for next season.
Mm-hmm. Not for next season. Yeah.
By the way, Richard Danoff said he just beat you in fantasy.
Oh, Big Dick Danoff.
Yeah.
I've got 7 teams. I think I went 6-1 today. Look, take the small victories, obviously, but It's a long season. It's a long season. Mm-hmm. Big Dick Denoff. At least he's an Ohio State fan, so we're good to go on that. So do you work at the brewery itself? Or
so
just
I don't
for them?
Know. It was literally just personal security for Jensen.
Got it.
Originally, we had did security on site for the brewery. Mm-hmm. And then when they stopped that, all I did, when Jensen would come into town and do stuff, basically I would just bodyguard him for
signings. He's a big dude. What the fuck does he need security for?
I would say it's the fact that he doesn't want to think about it.
Got it. He's got crazy fans, though. Supernatural fans are fucking gnarly, yes. Man. Yeah. In a great way. Like, shit, they're super passionate.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
But they will tear his fucking clothes off, I bet.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've had...
They're diehards.
We've had people fake faint. Yeah, man.
Do they think
no
he...
No way.
I'm having to pick up people, like, because they're acting like they're fake.
Oh, I thought you meant so they were funny, trying man. To lure him because they think he's an actual superhero. So that's not what happened, guys.
No.
He's in real life, he's like the nicest, most normal he's dude on the planet cool. Where you're just
I mean,
like,
he's from here.
Yeah.
You know, so he still has that like hometown about him when you meet him in person, you know?
Well, that's the funny thing, because you said you were from California. Like, everybody in LA, actor-wise, podcast, all that shit, everybody's jumping ship. Like, Theo Vaughn just left. Mm-hmm.
Ben Shapiro.
Joe Rogan is here.
Yeah. We're here. People are either going to Nashville or here.
Yes.
And I get the Nashville move, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing. But here's the difference. I come to Austin, and I've got to deal with Austin bullshit for sure, but mm-hmm. I'm still in Texas, where nobody is going to pull the shit that they've been pulling everywhere else in this country.
Right.
It's just not going to... They tried to set up a Chop Chaz downtown here, and the state police ran them out within 45 minutes on horseback. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen here. In Nashville, Nashville's a pretty cool city. There's a lot of stuff going on there. You got to deal with the Nashville bullshit. Then you look around, and you're in fucking Tennessee.
Like,
never mind. You know what I mean?
I've had some good times in Nashville. Obviously, we just came back from there. We were doing the Kid Rock show, which will air tomorrow night with John Daly and Rob O'Neill. Yeah. And Jason Rao is on that show. There's a bunch of people.
It's a wild one.
Yeah.
It's, Ray Cash Care.
Yeah, fuck, dude. It's
Rob O'Neill.
You name it. They're on that show tomorrow. But we're looking forward to that. And hey, man, appreciate you helping out Dan mm-hmm. today.
Of course.
Because, when you move to a new city, like, fuck, man, we've had the hardest time meeting people who can actually do shit here.
Yeah.
I've gone to Drinking Bros for everything. So, like, you, Austin Talley, who's another admin. Yep. Like, dude, Austin Talley has hooked us up.
Yeah.
We just did a live show. It's Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah. So we're doing the election show there.
Yeah.
On the November 3rd.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That place is fucking rad, dude. So it's perfectly set up. If you're coming in from out of town, and a lot of people are flying in for the show, it's free. You don't have to reserve tickets or anything like that. And, you know, it'll be fucking raging.
It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He's the second Drinking Bro in that group that's helped me out this week, actually.
No shit.
Yeah, so this woman, Sterling Vega, she's in Drinking Bros Austin as well. She and her parents run like a little dog boarding thing. And I was looking for somebody to board my dogs. I prefer to, like, you can use Wag and Rover and all this other bullshit to put them in somebody's house, mm-hmm. but I'm much more comfortable putting my dogs into a Drinking Bros house than I am some random fuck face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't even know why I look anywhere else now.
I don't either
for anything, to be honest. Like I needed a butcher mm-hmm. recently, and I just like asked some people in Drinking Bro. I was like, hey, who are the butchers around here? And they just told me.
Same. You know what I mean? And if somebody's not a Drinking Bro, like I'm shocked by it, and I don't trust them. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, I'm starting not to trust people. Where it's like, if you're a Drinking Bro, we're cool.
Well, I mean, the community is so big now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
I've been, I think, part of it since 16.
2016, yeah.
And I think there was like 60 or 70,000. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was still big.
Yeah.
So now to look at it being, what is it, like 112, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
It's literally double almost. It's doubled, yeah. You know? It's cool to see because we have 2,000, I think, in our subgroup in Austin.
3,000 now.
Yeah, it's like 20. I think it's like 2,600.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, there's a lot of great admins. Actually, last Christmas, mm-hmm. a bunch of us got together and had Christmas. That's what we did.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Christmas dinner.
Hell yeah.
You know, at Marissa Morgan's house. She's Marissa Ryan now. But
she got married,
And Kai and all these guys, Michael Harris. And stuff like that. We all got together and, you know, and had Christmas. And it was just great.
That's fucking awesome.
Just
awesome.
So,
Staying here for the long haul? What's your schedule?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually not too far from here.
Okay, good.
So I'm right off of South First and Ben White.
Oh, right on.
So I'm not far. And I mean, we're talking about maybe signing another lease for this next year, but it all comes down to November. What's going to happen?
Really?
You know?
Yeah. Why is that? Let me ask you. If Trump loses, would you leave?
No. I mean, like, what's going to happen with everybody else? So what are people going to do? Are we going to be in a civil war? Are we going to be, you know, what's going to happen? Do I want to stay in downtown Austin? Or do I want to try to bounce out of the city a little bit, you know, and punch out an hour, you know, and not be in all this bullshit?
Well, I will say this, because we, you know, Jared was on the show last week, and then we're doing, by the way, we're doing a huge rib-off. It's him versus Jesse next weekend that we're going to shoot. Giorgio is going to shoot that for us, and that's going to be a good time on the Traegers. And Jared had said the same thing. Him and I agreed. We think Trump is going to win, and he's going to win that night. I think Austin's going to be a fucking shit show. Yeah. People are going to be burning shit and fucking smashing in windows.
That's
or
what it's
going to
be.
Right?
That's
why
I
like
have.
Right from my fucking window.
Yeah,
I can
he's
see.
Got a good spot.
Oh yeah,
like good I'm spot. I'm right at the bridge that goes into the in and out of the city. So if any kind of bullshit starts on that highway,
you're in perfect position, dude.
I'm gonna get some good footage. I'm definitely not gonna be throwing my own feces off the balcony
through a site. No, you should.
It's screaming. You're gonna scream with tits on your head. You know?
Yeah.
Gonna do that?
Well, luckily I'm on the fourth floor, so it'll be hard for any of those little beta bitches to throw anything up that far.
Of course.
And
of
if
course.
Any if True. Any kind of gunshots come towards my place, if I'm out there heckling people, they're gonna get a really interesting surprise.
Right? I'm looking forward to that night, but my prediction is this. Yes, I think shit will pop off, but I think because it's in November and a lot of these cities will get colder, that is one thing that fucking people that are out of work still hate is cold weather. So I think it'll die down after like 3 weeks. But I still think there will be about 3 weeks worth of uproar.
Yeah.
And then after that, people will start to retreat back.
This is funny.
Once the temperature cools down.
Yeah. Kevin Bays in the chat. Actually, I forgot about this. I wanted to mention this today. So that whole scene with Klug up in Philly, by the way, that was supposed to be a Proud Boys thing. So the Proud Boys said they were going to Philly. No one ever showed up.
Right.
And the fucking Antifa people started beating the shit out of each other.
No way. Oh, because they didn't know.
So some fucking some guy that showed up to protest Trump got his car smashed to pieces by Antifa because they just thought he was one of the Proud. They were just like looking for Proud Boys, but the Proud Boy people never showed up.
So funny. They didn't even have that many members.
There's 12 of those guys, man.
Yeah, and we had the dude on our show because we were curious about it, right? Dan and I don't really believe in that shit, but and it was more or less just trolls.
Neither do they, like, by the way. They're just trolls.
Yeah.
They think it's funny.
Yeah.
That literally,
which I can get on board with.
Literally, they just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't care if they get into fights, which is, you know, whatever, but that's kind of silly to me, but it is funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
How many years have you lived in Austin itself?
Austin and surrounding area, probably 10.
Oh, 10 years. All right. Great. Yeah. So you know this area very well. Are you surprised by all the change with like Tesla and all that shit coming here?
I like that change, though. Like that.
That's jobs change. Yeah.
Yeah. I think with Tesla coming here, that's a positive. And they tried to come here a while back, but Austin City Council wouldn't approve it, all kinds of shit like that. So I think that's a good change. I think that Elon Musk is a good guy.
I agree.
He's very intelligent.
I love him. I've got a picture of him here that's going to be on the new Ross Patterson Revolution set. I love Musk.
In the fact that this dude tweeted out about COVID and it being like half the tests were bullshit. I'm like, well, I'm going to believe him actually believe anybody else. Like, cause he's like the smartest dude ever. Right. You know, like,
he'll put somebody on Mars. That fucking guy will put somebody on Mars.
So I'm like, if he's telling me that 50% of positive tests are false positives, I'm like, I'll probably believe it, right? It's not just some Joe Blow. We're talking about Elon Musk. Like, this dude's not a fucking slacker.
Those, like, 17,000 college kids that got COVID the first week they were back in school, the first week and a half, nobody died from that. No, that never was a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why is that not a follow-up story?
Well, I personally know people that have made appointments to get the tests, and whether or not they didn't go or they were there and then they ran out of tests, they received positive test results.
Yeah, that's happened a bunch. Like, that happened in Florida and North Carolina
too many times for me to fucking keep being on board with this bullshit. Yeah. You know, like, but if Elon Musk tells me, you know, I'm like, oh, well, I kind of believe that guy. He's pretty fucking smart. You know, like, all right.
All right, let's go a quick rapid fire here on Austin because we're new to the city. Let's go. Yeah. We're going to test your knowledge here, right?
I don't have that good of knowledge.
Well, we'll
I've only lived in the city since February. Actually, downtown.
All right, but
I've always lived around.
That's fine. That's fine. Because I live outside of the city, so we're fine. Yeah. Best barbecue joint?
Man, I go to Lockhart.
There's a couple. There's somebody else has said
there's
that
a couple in Lockhart that are really good. Two of which are different, but they're families that are the same.
What are the name of? What's the name?
Croy's and oh shit, Blacks. Is it Blacks? No, I don't. I can't remember.
Blacks is kind of a chain.
It's not a chain. It's not Blacks.
It's also super racist.
It's Croy. So I just go to Croy's. That one's really, really good. And it's like right before the little bridge going into to Lockhart.
Okay. Best Mexican in this city. Best margarita. Where are you going?
Like, do you mean the best Mexican person or the best Mexican food?
Yeah, no, that's racist.
Best
though.
Mexican person how do you
Salma
Hayek.
You know what? I'm not even going to disagree with that one.
I thought she was Puerto Rican.
She might be. Who knows?
Well, let's just say Hispanic.
Yeah. Let's say Latina.
No, she's Mexican. All right.
I have a...
Nailed it.
Maria's. Is that what it's called?
Maria's?
Okay. Maria's outside of my apartment complex. Like, we literally go and just walk and get tacos.
Okay.
Great fucking house margaritas. And we have two food trucks within two blocks of our house.
A lot of great
too.
Food trucks here, yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, that's the thing here. Any fucking open space, like in a normal city, somebody would have bought that up and done something with it, turned it into a parking lot or whatever the fuck. Here in Austin, it just kind of stays there, and people fucking pay the city to come park their food trucks, which is pretty nice, to be honest.
Like so
that
I'm
place,
on...
What's that place, the biscuits and gravy place?
Oh shit!
We went there last time she was here. What the fuck? Yeah. Biscuits and Groovy. That's it. Yeah, that place is fucking dope. Holy shit, it's good.
Somebody recommended Chewy's to us.
Chewy's is a chain too, though.
Chewy's
right?
a chain. Yeah. Okay. Chewy's it's is all good, over Texas, and they have a really good. It's like a jalapeno ranch dipping sauce for your chips and stuff. Ah. Like. It's outstanding.
Okay,
but Chewy's is still a chain, kind of like Chili's and stuff like that. You know, like Maria's out at my house. They have their own bakery too.
Okay.
So they bake all the bread and stuff like that. They make all the chips in-house, all the salsa. It's good.
All right. So there's the next one is there's 140 distilleries here, right?
Wait, the best barbecue place in Austin is either Franklin's Place or Terry Black's over.
Very true.
So here's what everybody told me about Terry Black's. They said he's got the best brisket.
Terry Black's on I don't know, Terry Black's brisket on Barton Springs Road.
People said Terry Black's
fucking shit, dude. It's so good. Yeah, it's literally a block away from my house.
Really? Yes. Shit. All right, there's 140 distilleries here. Besides Family Brewery, what is the best brewery you could recommend for us?
Man, I really like ABGB. So Austin Beer Garden, they have a really good kitchen too. They host a good amount of beers in-house, but they also have a really good kitchen. Like you get Wagyu beef pizza.
Oh, no shit. It's
fucking delicious.
I'm down.
Fucking
I'm down.
Delicious.
Last question. Have you seen Matthew McConaughey out walking the streets of Austin?
I have not.
Ah, no shit.
You just got to go to all the Texas games.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not around the UT area unless I'm working or something. But I have not been able to meet him.
Fuck yeah.
You know?
Well, one day you will.
I'd love to.
It's for somebody that famous, I doubt he ever travels with personal security. Unless it's something that an event is providing for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes that happens, but he just doesn't. I bet he's got a rattlesnake in his pocket. And he just like throws it at people.
There is those people, though, those celebrities who are above the law where it's like nobody will fuck with him.
For sure.
McConaughey, to me,
has a huge
in Austin.
Too, yeah, so.
Can you imagine?
Nobody's going to fuck with that.
Yeah. Why? Like, what? Does anybody not like Matthew McConaughey?
No one.
Like,
so therefore, it's
he
like
might be
he
one of the most beloved
anywhere.
Actors ever.
Yeah. Whereas the difference with like Jensen, right? He's on a show that is so culty.
Yeah,
like those...
only certain people recognize him.
Yeah, and they're but the ones who do are like fuck.
Yeah,
I gotta go up and tear this guy's jeans off, man. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Whereas McConaughey, I feel like, you know, they call him the minister of culture here, where he just fucking glides through the crowd and everybody knows.
It's at
like,
every football game and shit, everybody sees him.
Yeah. I mean, the worst he's gonna get is somebody repeating lines from one of his movies back to him, probably.
Right.
I'm sure you get it. I know. Just like shut the fuck up. Sure. That's like I'm Rick James, bitch, with fucking David Chappelle. Like I'm sure that's why he actually left and went to Africa.
Yeah,
like he was just tired of people screaming, "I'm Rick James, bitch!" And right.
I do miss
that
show though.
That and Maya Angelou personally calling him and saying the jokes you're writing are harmful to the black community, but you didn't hear it from me.
Well, she should have minded her own business because I thought they were great. By the way, that is the best comedy show in the history of comedy shows. It's the best.
It is up there for sure. Key and Peele did not miss for 8 years, though. Those guys were really fucking good.
They're
really
still good, funny.
Yeah. Yes.
They're still funny.
They're fucking great. Last but not least, I know you are our Drinking Bro of the Week. Is there anybody out there that you would like to nominate as Drinking Bro of the Week that has meant something to you along your travels?
Man, I probably my dad. He's my stepdad.
Okay.
But he's been my dad. I'm 33. He's been my dad for 30 years.
What if he said my daddy?
Oh, that'd be great. If you came on the show and just said my daddy.
My dom.
I want to thank my daddy, my little daddy.
But you don't like immediately expose the fact that he's your father or not? Like, we still don't know. We're trying to like ask subtle questions to find out if he's your actual father or if it's like there's some other situation going on. That would be
I
way better.
I should have done that.
No, you can't do that because it's fucked up.
In a dom way, like a super dom way.
My dom, I just like that.
Yeah. You know? So your stepdad, he's been your stepdad for 30 years?
Yeah. And he's just retired this last year, 26 years in the Army.
Oh, shit. Congratulations.
And so he's a beast. You know?
That's fucking awesome, man.
He's just a beast. He's done it, and he's provided his entire life and still does. And it was always like that role model that always just like, even if you don't want to go, just go.
Yeah.
Do it. Like, don't quit. Don't fucking, you know, don't be a bitch, you know? I mean, he also taught me mechanics. Our first car was a 65 Mustang when I was 14. He bought it for our project car.
That's, dude, you're working on those things.
Yeah. It taught me all the tools, everything. Yeah. Like, and so that's where, like, my love of cars came from, is that too. So, yeah, man, he doesn't get enough recognition, but mm-hmm. he's been out for this last year, and now he's in Louisiana taking care of his dad who's, you know, not doing good. And so he's like retired to actually do more work now. So he's having to take care of his dad and it's way more stressful and shit like that. So, I mean, he's a real one, you know, like he's the dude who I'd want to be like, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's awesome, man. We'll do. Yeah. Thanks for coming out tonight. I know it's a Sunday night and you're in the middle of this fucking ridiculousness with RBG. Giorgio, would you mind playing this out, please, with just a little jangle of that tune? Are you still plugged in? Are you still hooked up? Because there's still a lot of people that are hurting out there, Giorgio.
Just keep smashing my guitar on whatever's in the right. way. Do you not understand how solid objects work, you piece of shit?
Knock it around a little bit, drop it again.
I bought that guitar for like $200.
I need to hear Dust in the Wind. I wonder if we're going to get flagged for this on YouTube.
I used to have a guitar signed by Santana.
Oh, shit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
If it was signed by Rob Thomas and Santana, I'd fucking smash it. I hate that Smooth song so fucking bad.
No, I gave it to my brother, and then my brother sold it to my cousin.
Oh, really?
Like a fucking asshole. I'm like, hey, I gave that to my brother, and he's like, oh, yeah, he sold it to me for like $150. I'm like, what the fuck? I gave it to him.
Santana, fucking brother.
It's still in the family. Here's what you do. You just pull the fucking the Scientology move. You get some dirt on your cousin.
Yeah.
Then you force him to give you all the shit.
Rape him on camera. Make sure that those tapes are hidden. And then threaten him with those tapes if he ever, you know, tries to go public with it. Giorgio, what do we got here? Oh, there it is. RBG, we miss you.
Tiny dancer starts playing when Trump talks. That'd be pretty funny.
I close my I don't know why I did that voice, by the way, at the beginning of the show.
I don't either.
But I thought it would lead us out of here with it. I know a lot of you are mourning. A lot of you are hurting. Just know that the Drinking Bros are here with you. RBG, rest in peace, in power, in prosperity. You little tiny princess. We're D'Anthony Holloway. I'm Ross Patterson. That's Giorgio on the guitar. And you can go to Just Giorgio on OnlyFans if you want to see his penis, and that's real. That's only $5.
Yep.
And as always, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. It'll help keep us at the top of the charts. For everybody out there who's always wanted to be a Supreme Court justice, good night, and God bless.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co., LLC. Used with permission.